Hello, my name's Simon, if you've met before, and the last few weeks we've been looking in 1 Corinthians 13 and the theme of love, Paul's letter to the Corinthians about love. Today we're going to do something a bit different and look at the Apostle John's description of love in 3 John. And really, a question this asks us in 3 John is, whose name do you love to hear about? So I think when I was at school, I was in the school play in my last year, and I wasn't the main part, but I was one of the bigger parts. I had quite a few lines, and one night, the last night we performed, we had a reporter come from the very renowned local Eastbourne Herald, with its finger on the pulse of Eastbourne's mature culture. And they came, they did the review, so it was the next Friday when the paper came out, I scanned through the paper to find the review, and I found it, and then kind of scanned through my eyes through just to see where my name was, Simon Dixon, okay, didn't see it. So I thought, okay, I'll sit down properly and read it. It says, the show was a great success, blah-de-blah, with the lead roles, George O'Brien and Charlie Rendell, magnificent in the calibre of their performance, helped by a large supporting cast. What? Where was my name? Why am I lumped along with a large supporting cast? I had just as many lines as they did. They didn't even mention me. And then there's a photo of the whole cast, and I was just there at the back, looked like some generic gangly teenager. You couldn't even tell it was me. Of course, I didn't say anything to anyone. But inside, kind of how I felt. What wasn't I being talked about? Where was my name? Now, of course, we know that's not just something for the school playground. Of course, that can affect a friendship group, an office environment, families. But really, 3 John asks, how will that affect a Christian community? How will that affect Christians' love for one another? Now, obviously, I guess none of us here turned up wanting to hear a sermon about me today, about you today. We don't turn up at church wanting to sing songs about how wonderful I am. We're not like that. But I think this temptation to love to hear our own name is in us. It's subtle and it's quite strong. It's that nagging thought we have when we wonder, how much does this all suit me? What am I going to get out of all this? Because at first glance, it appears as letter 3 John is basically all about hospitality. So the Apostle John writes this man called Gaius and encourages him to keep offering hospitality to travelling preachers, because another man in another church called Diotrephes is refusing to do so. But this is about much more than just a Christian come dine with me gone wrong. Really, underneath this is this issue of hospitality is, whose name do you love most? The name of God, the name of the Lord Jesus, or your own? And actually, this question of where our first love is, who we love most, actually that will really affect our love for one another as Christians. So we're going to spend the next few minutes just really focusing in on the guts of the letter. And we're shown 2 examples. So the first example is this man called Gaius. And that's a love of Jesus' name. So if you've still got the piece of paper, have a look with me, please, at verse 5. Verse 5. Dear friends, you are faithful in what you're doing for the brothers and sisters, even though they are strangers to you. They've told the church about your love. Please send them on their way in a manner that honours God. So in the first century Roman Empire, long distance travel was really possible for the first time. Stated roads and ports and sea travel, that kind of thing, really meant that people could get all over the Mediterranean. And the early church really kind of took good use of this. And they sent missionaries all over, stuff like Paul in the book of Acts and that kind of thing, all over the known world. But the trouble was, obviously, hotels didn't exist. And Airbnb was probably about 2,000 years away from existing. Your only option was inns, and they were basically all used as brothels. So travelling missionaries needed a Christian to give them a roof for the night and then kind of give them a pat lunch to send them on their way the next day. So that's the kind of hospitality being talked about here. And these missionaries have told John about the love of this man, Gaius. Verse 6, they've told the church about your love. So John just encourages him to keep on doing it. He says, please send them on their way in a manner that honours God. So John's to remember that even though these people are poor, these missionaries, actually they represent God, they're his spokesman, and so they deserve honour. They should be treated with respect and generosity. And now John gives 3 reasons why Gaius should do this. And the first is there in verse 7. He says, it was for the sake of the name that they went out. The sake of the name. So the reason they left home
is because they love God's name. I just want to pause on that and ask why. Why does John go for this love of God's name? So I guess we could ask missionaries all over the world today, if in a sentence, if they could put it, what would be your motivation for leaving home and going to tell people about Jesus? I did this email to a friend, Johnny Burgess, some of us might know him, a guy in his 20s who's moved out to a small country in Africa and helped teach people about Jesus. I asked him, in a sentence, what would you say was your reason for going? And he said it was Christ's love compels him. Others might say they believe in eternity, or they feel they're being obedient to their call. But these guys in 3 John have got really excited about God's name. Why? Well, biblically, in the Bible, God's name is a window into his character. So God's name kind of sums up everything about him. It sums up who he is, what he's like, sums up what he's done. God has many names in the Bible. The foremost one he reveals himself as is Yahweh in Exodus 3. We have it in Lord in capital letters, or translated Jehovah. In Hebrew, it literally means I am. That is, God's name is self-defining. He's self-sufficient. He's unchanging and he's incomparable. The name of his son, Jesus, literally means God saves. It means the name of a saviour. So these missionaries are people who believe in the name of Jesus and they want other people to believe what they believe about it. At his name, the name Jesus, they want every knee to bow. They know how much they themselves have been given by God. They know how much they've been forgiven by him. And they're just so thankful. They want other people to share their love for his name that they have. So basically, these are people who pray with real guts the Lord's Prayer. Father, hallowed be your name. They're really captivated by God's name, who he is, what he's done, what he's like. This last year, I've been involved with a ministry to internationals in London. People who are new to London don't speak English, and we help teach them English, offer them friendships, lonely in London, and introduce them to the very basics of Christianity. And one of the guys that I'm doing it with helps out just from a practical point of view. Every week he comes along and really heads that side of things up. He does it in his spare time. He's a businessman, an entrepreneur. It's very striking. All through the year, if there was anyone needed to do a job behind the scenes or a job in their free time, if there's anyone needed to stay late and lock up, if there's anyone needed to come early and do a job, he was always the first to volunteer. And I thought, why? Actually, this guy doesn't really mind if he hasn't got the finest job. He doesn't really mind how inconvenient it is. Because he loves God's name. And he's thankful for it. He wants God's name to be honoured there. That's what gets him going. He works for the sake of the name. Especially if there are any here who aren't yet Christian believers. Actually, this is really what makes Christians tick. God's name, love for it. Because of Jesus, his name literally means saviour. So Jesus died to save people from sin. He paid the price of what I'd done wrong so that I didn't have to. And so his name is precious and good. It's one to believe in as true and wonderful. There's nothing better than knowing him as true. So these people, they've gone out for the sake of a name. And then their second reason, if you look down there at verse 7, it's for the sake of the name they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. So pagans just means people who aren't Christians there. And basically it means the tax man hasn't helped them with their expenses and basically had no help. So they need to pitch in and help. And then verse 8, third reason. He says, we ought therefore to show hospitality to such people so that we may work together for the truth. It's John saying the church is like a body, as much as fingers need arms, blood cells, the brain needs blood cells, that kind of thing. And the church needs one another. And we can't just go off and do our own thing. There's no one man band. So he's saying walking in the truth means working together. The truth. So the call for us here today is to love the name of Jesus, to love the name of the Lord Jesus, to be recaptured by that, to re-remember what that means, remember what God's done for me, who he is. And then as people who love the name of the Lord Jesus, who are captured by that, but of course then we'll want to work together for the truth. We'll want to do inconvenient things like these guys hosting the missionaries. Because we love the sake of the name. Actually, there are sometimes in life when you get a really practical chance like this to literally host a Christian missionary who's come into London. There are other ways too, of course, relational support, financially too. But this is what it will, this is when it will feel like to be part of a loving community, is when we're also captured by God's name and love for that. But then, of course, we'll want to work together, serve one another. But there is something that will stop all that dead in its tracks, and it's what's happening here in this letter. And that's actually if we love our own name. And that's the example of Diotrephes. So verse 9, our second point, he says, John says, I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first, will not welcome us. 100 years ago, loving yourself was a big cultural no-no. It wasn't a virtue, it was a vice. But obviously now I think culture's really swung the other way. So near where I live, there's a gym, and I cycle past the street it's on, and at both ends of the street is a big billboard with a picture of some young, fit, good-looking, happy people at their gym. And underneath it just says the slogan, love yourself. You know, if you love yourself and pay the ridiculous fees to come to our gym, you'll be like these people, you know, you'll be happy, fit, successful. And of course, I guess it's good advertising for them. I'm sure there are lots of very good things about self-esteem culture and that kind of thing. But there's lots as bad. And self-love has a danger of affecting the church that we're in. I find those words in verse 9 really chilling about Diotrephes. He loves to be first. He loves to be the first one. He will not welcome them, verse 9, verse 10. So when I come, I will call attention to what he's doing, spreading malicious nonsense about us, gossiping, spreading it through his church. Not satisfied with that, he refuses to welcome other believers. He also stops those who want to do so and puts them out of the church. He won't be a team player. He's been asked to help and do something, but doesn't suit him, doesn't suit his agenda, does his own thing. Because he wants to put himself first. Actually, what suits him fits in with his plans. He stops those who have a different opinion. He's quite controlling in his church. It's his way or the highway, basically. Actually, he loves his own name. It's not necessarily that he doesn't love Jesus' name. He just loves himself first. Don't you see the effect on the church is just devastating? Imagine the lack of unity, people being kicked out, the relational harm there, their godliness, gossip spreading, their effectiveness, they're just not working well together. One person's sin has spread like gangrene through this whole church. So love to be thought of first, a love for your own name. I think as we apply this to ourselves, I think it's quite easy to look on this guy, Diotrephes, as basically like a Disney baddie. You know, he's such an extreme caricature. He looks like, you know, Lord Voldemort in a dog collar type of thing. You know, kind of very removed from where we're at, I guess. But Diotrephes wouldn't have turned out like this overnight. His Christian community he was a part of wouldn't have turned out like that just one Tuesday lunchtime. No, it would have happened in very small, ordinary, everyday ways over time. I think we're all in danger of creeping into this. I see it in myself. When we ask the question at church, why isn't that me? If that's a position of leadership or something. Or why isn't that me being complimented or me being talked about? Why wasn't I consulted? Why did no one ask my opinion? Why did I find out with everyone else about that news? Why aren't people asking me about how my thing went? Why am I being asked to do that rubbish job when surely my gifts far outstrip that? Or the jealousy we feel at someone else's success. Actually, that kind of self-love, unchecked, that will ruin our love for one another. That will ruin our love for other Christians, for the world around us. Because we won't be outward looking to our friends, but we'll be inward looking. What suits me? What suits my agenda? And we won't be reaching out to others. I will be focusing in on our own little thing and our own little building. And we'll be miserable. We'll have sensitive egos. Easily deflated, anxious. And actually, there's love to be first. There's something of it in all of us. It actually takes from what belongs to God. For me, it is sin. And we need to repent of. And so thirdly and lastly, John just pictures him a choice of role models. So he says, do you want a love for the name or a love for your own? He says, the choice is that stark. So verse 11, he says, dear friend, do not imitate what's evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. So just to clarify, this verse is about how to tell if someone is a Christian, they're doing good. It's not about how to become a Christian. That's by faith in Christ. But John tells Gaius, basically, pick your role models really carefully. Obviously, consciously or subconsciously, we all have them. But will he pick Diotrephes, love to be first, or someone like Demetrius, verse 12? Demetrius is well spoken of by everyone, even by the truth itself. We also speak well of him, and you know our testimony is true. You know, this man is obviously walks in the truth. He's got a good reputation. People know that he works for the sake of the name, not his own. He's probably on his way in need of hospitality. So the question for us is, who will we imitate? Good or bad? Someone who loves to be first? Or someone who works together for the truth because they're so in love with God's name? Loving to be first is natural, it's subtle, it's strong, but we know in the long run it's devastating. We'll be unloving towards one another. So this is a call today to repent from that. But to copy instead, those who love the name of Jesus, they're the ones to copy. If you know someone like that, imitate them. And I call afresh to just think about Jesus' name. Be recaptured by love for God's name, who he is, what he's done for you. But I find the trouble is my heart's subtle. It's not like in the Euros. So last night you could tell who was playing for England and who was playing for Slovakia, because England wore red and Slovakia wore white. There were two very clear sides. The trouble is my heart is subtle. My heart kind of ebbs and flows on this, like the tide. It goes back and forth. So I think it's really a call to have a constant re-pledging of our hearts to God, a constant re-remembering of who is it I believe in? Why do I believe in him? Why do I think he's so wonderful? So loving God's name, remembering what it means again, focusing on who he is. And then actually wanting to put myself first, when we're so captivated by Christ's love, actually putting myself first, I just seem rubbish in comparison. We won't want to do this. We'll just be captivated by Christ. So Christian love, it's a love for God's name, not your own. If we love our own name first, we'll put ourselves first. But if we love God's name, I'll put myself last. It's a message of 3 John and Christian love. Should we pray as we close? I'll lead us. Father, we thank you for this reminder today, what we've learnt. Father, we thank you for your name and who you are. Thank you for our Saviour, Jesus. Father, we're so sorry for how we can forget that and focus in on ourselves and what suits us more. Father, we recommit ourselves to you, Father. We thank you for how wonderful you are. And we pray that our love will be flowing out of that, flowing out of being devoted to you and so loving towards one another. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.